Devoted, part 5. We're nearly done with the series, but again, as we look at it, we remember this fondly. So remember, look, we looked at part 1, deeper, higher, wider. Then we looked at devoted to follow Jesus. Then we looked at devoted to love. Janine helped us with that. And then the 2 weeks ago, I spoke about finding my purpose in God. And this morning, I want to talk about His devotion, my identity in God, in Christ, which is very helpful for us. And we've looked at this from different angles. And I know this morning we sang about my purpose. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. I spoke about finding our purpose in God. We looked at all of that stuff. And we looked at the New Testament church from Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, and to prayers, And it always astounds me how this amazing New Testament church, and marvel at their strength under a hostile environment. Pretty much it's getting that way today. No one in Canada yet is going to die for being a Christian, but there is a hostile environment out there, and how these people were not ashamed to be called Christians or Christ followers or disciples. And so this morning, before I preach, Janine had a word, and I thought that would be good to help us launch into what we have today.
Thank you, Mark. When I was praying, I had Psalm 100, verse 3. You know, because God puts in each one of us, it's a legitimate need for significance and security that needs to be met. But how many of you know that God is such a good God, He won't give you something that needs to be met without then meeting it for you? So verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I felt the Lord say to me, if you will meditate on this and actually get this, that you, if you will know that the Lord, He is God, if you can get that truth down deep in your heart, and then if you can get the truth that we are His, it is He who has made you. You know, there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman. God made you. Just get that truth. Understand that He is God, and God actually took the time to fashion and form and create you. In all your glory, in all your uniqueness, in all the things you don't like, in all the things you like, He made you. And not yourself. That keeps you anchored. And then finally, to know that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And He said to me, you know, because I am His sheep and I'm in His pasture, whose job is it to take care of me? It's the Good Shepherd's, right? It's not mine. It's His job. And He delights to do it. So I felt the Lord just say, no, get to know who you are. Get to know who I am. And remember that you belong to me. And I will take care of you.
Okay. Thanks, Janine. Get to know who you are. Not just as you, but who you are in Christ. That's the important part. Because we talk about so much about my purpose. What's my purpose? And we looked at that, and I hope I helped you with that 2 weeks ago. And then we look about, well, what's my gifting? And I think those are the wrong questions. I think the right question is, what is my identity in Christ? And so that's why this morning I want to talk about His devotion towards us, because He loved us first. That we respond to Him and then we find our identity in Him. And when we find our identity in Him, we will find that our purpose and our gifting will work so much easier. And so what I'm going to try and do this morning, I'm going to try and illustrate that a little bit with some pretty circles. So let's see how we go. Okay. Whoever's at the back there, please pay attention. No, battery's good. There we go. Okay. All right. So we have difficulty in accepting who Christ says we are. And we want to make who I am. Well, if we hopefully look today, so we're going to look at these three. Number one is purpose. And you see these are equally sized circles. My purpose is the what of what we are, who we are, what we are. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So here we have Paul talking about good works, and I know we get to James, and James says, faith without works is dead. And we go, well, is that contradictory? No, they are. They're supplementing each other, just like last week, 2 weeks ago, I preached on my finding my purpose, and now I'm saying, well, identity. No, they're complementary. And we understand it that way, and we see that this is the what God made for us. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are his art of creation. We are walking in his image, and we work together, and he has prepared things for us to do. The second thing is gifting. And we have a look at that, and I'm not going to read it all. Romans 12, 3-8, you can have a look at that. But 12:6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to faith, and then it goes on and lists all the gifts. And in the NIV, if you've got an older NIV, it says, if a man's gift is. And so we understand that these, Romans 12, these are the gifts that God has given each one of us, and some of us have more than one. And the point of the gift is the how. The purpose is the what, the gifting is the how. How God made us, the grace and strength he's given us to achieve his purposes in our lives. We are all gifted. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're gifted. Well, there was 2% of you. We're all gifted. We have this DNA in us. See, you don't believe it. You have to learn to believe the stuff in your spirit and your heart. And either this afternoon or Monday, I'm going to send you a whole bunch of scriptures through our email system for you to go and study and look about your identity. Because by the end of today, some of you will be convinced. We use the gifts on how and what he has prepared for us to do. The way we have been wired to function. That's what Romans 12 is all about. The way we are wired to function. I can't function the way Chris functions because he is uniquely made. We all are uniquely made. You know, just while I'm talking about Chris, the Greek word for that is idioti. Yeah. Means unique, special. Who thinks they're special? Oh, here we go. We're getting a better response. So, you two okay here? Yeah? You special? You're not special. By the end of today, you will be. The most destructive thing we have, though, is this little thing called comparison. We want to compare with each other. I want to do it like he did it, and I want to do it like she did it, and we always seem to be looking over each other's shoulder instead of taking our own little idioti. And living in our little idioti world, unique world, that we actually function to the glory of the King that we sung about this morning. And we want to understand, turn to the next person to you and say, next person next to you or someone around you and say, you are the perfect package deal. You are the perfect package deal. You are the way Christ made you to be. And God intended. Read Romans 12, verse 2. And of course, the third one is our identity, and that is the who. And we don't have time now, but I encourage you to go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read from 1 to 14 and underline or put a circle around or color in whatever you like to do every time it says in. When you are in Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this for us. For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not just light, marvelous light. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Isn't that exciting? Okay. I'm excited. Just hold on. I feel the anointing coming, Lord. Yes. I'm excited. And we have to understand that it's in him. When we see the in him, let me read it. We in him we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, chosen before the foundation of the world. I'm talking about you. We have been adopted as sons and daughters. We have grace freely lavished upon us. We are redeemed by his blood. All our sins are forgiven. We have obtained an inheritance. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. All of this is to unite us together with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit for eternity's sake. Isn't that good? And if you don't understand it, this is Trinitarian speak time. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 1 to 6 and 7, through to verses 4 to 6. You read there, the Father planned the whole thing. We see that Jesus, the Son, paid for it in verses 7 to 12. And you see the Holy Spirit sealed it, verses 13 and 14. It is the story of redemption. It is salvation. It's who we are made to be. It's who we are created to be. The problem is people generally have no idea who their real identity in Christ is, because they allow their gift and their purpose, the how and the what, to override the who. That was a good band, eh? Anyway. Wow. So let's have a look. Let's move on. Phantom purpose living. Thanks, Vince. We have phantom purpose living where we have our gifting, big circle, and identity, little circle. And what that means, because we have no idea of our true identity, because when I say to you, who's holy here? Everyone, should, without thinking, should put their hands up. Why? No, well, I'm not sure about it. Or I'm too shy in front of everybody. But if I said to you, Vince, is the lady behind you your mother? Oh, jeez. Let me work with some intelligent people. Micah, is that your mom and dad sitting next to you? There you go. See, no hesitation. No hesitation. It's like, yes. And that's how we have to learn to know who our Father is and what our identity is in him. And we've got to understand it. Because otherwise, when we don't understand, we live what we call this phantom living purpose, because it's all about my gifting. It's all about what I can do. It's all about how gifted I am and what's my gift and how I use my gift. But we forget about our identity. And when we work there, we trade off our gifting, doing just enough to get by. Duct tape, what I call duct tape mentality. Just like, you know, there's a hole in the spout coming out. We just take some duct tape and put it up. You know the little boy in the dark? You know that story in Holland? Little boy with his finger in the dark? Okay. I'll tell you afterwards. I don't have time now. We want to live a nice, comfortable little life, and we just want to just be happy. I just want to be happy. I just want to use my gifting. I just want to go home. And you get exhausted and tired. And then you get just like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm just too tired. And if I may say, we must stop declaring that over our lives. Well, Pastor, we didn't call you because we know how busy you are. Who told you that? I know I didn't. Because I made a purpose in my life not to say that. Because otherwise, oh, the pastor's so busy. This is what I do. How can I be busy for this? Just saying, work with me. So you know when the Lord said to Solomon, my son, he said along these lines, if you had all the wealth in the world, You had all the resources in the world. You had all the time in the world. You had all the people in the world. What would you do with it? Let's take that question for ourselves this morning. If you had all the time in the world, you had all the power in the world, all the finances in the world, all the resources in the world, what would your purpose for Christ Jesus be? You should write that down. And if that doesn't align with what you're doing, may I suggest you need to go back to the drawing board and re-pray this thing through and rethink this thing. Purpose diminishes when no true identity exists. Thank you. Purpose diminishes when no true identity exists. And this is how most Christians view it. I hope these circles are helping you. Most Christians live with this view in mind. What I do, my purpose, and how I do it, my gifting, defines who I am. That's how I live, because that's what I believe. I'm going to just read this out so I don't make a mistake. We derive our sense of well-being, our importance from what we do, from what we have achieved, what we have done right, and sometimes wrong. And when I derive my identity from what I do, I will always have to do more. Yeah, it's like climbing up the escalator that's going down, but you want to go this way. And what's going to happen? If you're anything like me, those little legs are going to run out eventually. Yeah. Well, my breath first, then. Second thing is, when I derive my identity from what others say about me, I will always have to please people more. Here's an important one. When I listen to what God says about me, I will live in the rest and the freedom of my true identity. My gifting, my purpose, my doing, my achievement won't be an effort. Because we need to look at this, these two little arrows. You see, look at how clever this little thing is. I even learned how to work it. Look at that. Woo! When my purpose and gifting feed into my little identity, that's when I get exhausted. That's when I have to do more. That's when I have to achieve more. That's when I have to, look at me. Look at me, everybody. Look what I'm doing. And when they look, then you go, now they're watching. Now I've got to do. Now I'm going to have to produce the goods. Instead of just doing 2 Peter 4:11, right? Do only what God has given you the strength to do. And when you have that, I will assure you, you will not get tired. Because when you stop trying to be Chris, I'm just going to use him this morning and abuse him. Yeah, we only need one Chris. When you stop trying to be Chris, because he is the eternal Energizer Bunny, then we can just rest in who I am. Amen? When my purpose and my gifting are working, according to this, I get my identity. If these cease to happen, I will end up in an identity crisis. I don't know who I am. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why God brought me here. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what this is. I don't know what that is. No, because we've asked the wrong question. The right question is, who am I in Christ Jesus? The biblical view looks like this. When we grasp and attain a revelation of our identity in Christ, we will effectively and tirelessly start living out our purpose and gifting from the position in Christ Jesus. Our doing, our purpose and gifting will be regulated by our identity in Christ. And now the problem is, we have this thing which I call the identity gap. I know it's like getting all excited now. So, this little one here, this little one, number one. So we're just going to look at 1, 2, 3. I'll just refer to it. 1, yellow and red. 2, red. 3, red. So you can see how God sees us, what we believe, what God and I agree on. Number one is in the identity gap, represents the difference between what we believe about ourselves and how God sees us. When God says, you're a son or a daughter of mine, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're called by my purposes, we go, really? Are you sure, God? Well, I'm not so sure. We don't believe about ourselves what God says about ourselves. We sort of, in this one, we sort of agree. And that's good, but it is very limited. It is limited in the small part of us where God and I agree about me. The second, number two, the red circle, the things that we believe about ourselves that God doesn't agree with. Misinformation. Lies we believe from the enemy. The self downspeak we constantly drum into ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm stupid. I'm sick. I'm always sick. Yeah, you can stay that way. Instead of saying, I'm healthy. In Christ Jesus, I'm healthy. I believe He has healed me. I know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't, might not know, but I'm one of the unfortunates who suffer from sugar diabetes. My sugar still says I've got to take medication, and I'm not stupid not to go off the medication, but I keep believing that God is going to heal me. Probably half this church, if I ask you to put your hands up, have prayed for people like myself and Dom and Frank. But we still under the curse of that illness, but Jesus took it upon Himself. And I'm trusting that one day I'm going to walk free and I'm going to go, and the doctor's going to say, something's wrong, not right here. I'm going to go, no, everything's right. Praise Jesus. I don't go around saying, oh, I've got diabetes, please pray for me, please help me. No, no, no. I need to straighten up, believe who God says I am, believe who I am in Christ Jesus, and stand on my own two legs, get a bit of a spine, and walk it out. The stuff we use to degrade ourselves because we don't have a revelation of how God sees me, because we have a faulty identity. Now, number three is the truth that God believes about us that we haven't received the revelation yet. You see how huge it is. God says all this good stuff about us. Our actions often reveal this identity gap because poor behavior springs from a poor belief system. And then we justify our bad behavior and blame other people. And then we say, I'm sorry, but. You know, you just negated, I'm sorry. Just take responsibility and say, I'm sorry I messed up. Please forgive me. Who in their right mind is not going to forgive you? Come and talk to me if no one wants to forgive you. We'll help them. Our insecurities are revealed in this gap. And it's often our insecurities that hold us back from living out our purpose and our giftings. Who has insecurities? Okay, good. As long as they're not constant. Because the enemy comes every now and then and he says something to you and you go, so my insecurity rises up. And then I go, no, no, no. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know the promises He's placed in my life. I know what He's called me to do. I know where I'm going. I know why He's called me here. I know where He's taking me. I know what my future holds. I have an inheritance. I am blessed in Him. And I don't get religious on it, but you know, I'm not the head, I'm not the tail. No, no, believe that stuff. Don't just say it by rote. And we understand that. And so here we have my last circle. It's called the litmus test circle. Okay. I'm going to, whoever's doing the things at the back can help me. I don't know why this thing keeps dying off like this. Yeah, I think these batteries are done. Yeah, they're back on again. Okay, lots to read here. So this is called, now we're going to look at dissolving the identity gap. And you see we've taken circles 1 and 2 and we've put them into circle 1, which helps me to see how God sees us. What God and I agree on is how God sees us, what we believe. The litmus test is, number one, is my behavior, because I've already said my poor belief system will dictate my poor behavior. And we make excuses and justify it. We just need to learn not to justify actions. Just say, I'm sorry. You know when we say, anyone ever, don't put your hand up on this one. The devil made me do it. Okay, you can if you want. You know what that translates into? I am demon possessed. Now work with me. I didn't want to do it, but the devil made me do it. I'm a child of light, Holy Spirit indwelt, covered by the blood, but the devil made me do it. Translates, and you can tweet that if you like. The devil made me do it translates to I am demon possessed. So let's just move on then. The second one is my insecurities. And as I said, any insecurity which is regular in my life needs to get dealt with. And because I think differently about me than what God thinks about me. If I believe the same as what God believed about me, I would not be insecure. Well, you're not smart enough. God says, I'm his child. God says, if I lean on him, he will reveal his wisdom and his knowledge about himself to me. So let's just go now to dissolving the gap, and I'll try and get finished on time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So we want to dissolve the identity gap. Oh, we're already doing that. Okay. Number one. Is that one? Yeah. I am blessed in him. And we have to also, once we know whose we are, then we will know who we are. We can't go, well, I just want to know who I am. No. Whose we are versus who we are. It's okay, it's sealed, it's all right. And so we have to learn to get to that place of our identity in Christ Jesus and remain there. Verse number one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with Christ in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God's view is that all his blessings are poured out on me. I want more blessings. I want more, I want more. He's already poured them out. We have to learn to receive them and acknowledge that he's poured them out. It's not like he's a bad father, because the gap is, I've put it up there, I must work hard to earn God's blessings. Which father here, and because God's the father, I'm just going to say fathers, but fathers, mothers, makes their children earn their love? We can do some counseling afterwards, if you put your hand up. God, our Father, loves us, gives us all his blessings in Christ Jesus. God's view is that his blessings are poured out on us. We must develop a heart that receives that. Allow the head knowledge that I'm trying to give you this morning to sink down into your heart knowledge, that you go, yes and amen, because the Bible says all His promises are true. Not some, all. And they're for all of us. Amen. I'm getting excited because we think that as I become a better Christian, as I run up the escalator, my blessings will increase. You're still living in performance mode. You're still living in gifting and purpose, except in releasing identity. Oh, here we go. Number two says, He chose us, Ephesians 1:4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation. He chose us before creation. We think, I was doing my thing, God was doing His thing, and then there was a time when a thing happened, and now I'm like, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He found you, purpose to adopt you, before creation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because some of you think you were saved on a certain date, where you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and Master. You were saved 2,000 years ago at the cross. It just happens that 1,015 years later, depending how old you are, 2,012 years later, you said yes to Jesus. He'd already taken all upon Himself upon the cross. Alternatively, He has to die every time someone comes to Jesus. I found Jesus, okay, let's crucify Him again. No, He was crucified once and for all. The Lamb of God, slain once before the creation. We think, you know, it's like schoolyard picks. Those of you who played sport at school. You know, the two smart ones, the two really good players, they get chosen as captains and they stand and they flip a coin or, you know what I'm doing? And then we pick players to play on our team. And depending what sport it is, you either could get picked first or you could get picked last. Or if you really didn't do sport that much but were forced to play, you were like, yeah, everyone's going to be picked, I'm last. And then what do? You get on the team and then you play your heart out so that you won't be the last pick next time. And what happens next time? You're the last pick. I know, it's hard going through school like that. Trust me, I was last pick sometimes. But that's how we live our Christian life. We think I'm God's last pick. Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Pickering, Ajax, Scarborough? Well, my spiritual development, my identity in Christ is so poor that, well, He's going to pick me last. I don't have real value to play on Jesus' team. Not true. You are highly valuable on His team. He's saying, I picked you before creation. Wow. I don't even know where I am. Okay, there we are. Number three. That we should be holy and blameless before Him. We were designed to be holy and blameless. The gap is we see sinfulness as part of normal life. My sin consciousness exceeds my righteous consciousness. Because we believe the lie, and hear me carefully, don't fight me on this, I am a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, you have now been saved by grace, you are no longer a sinner. Stop speaking that over your life. I'm just this little worm in the back garden. I was a sinner. Yeah, we're all sinners. We were born sinners. No one here exempt. Now, we need to get rid of, I'm a sinner saved by grace, to I'm a child of the King. I'm righteous in His sight. My identity is in Him. Not in my sin, but in my righteousness, because it is an imputed righteousness to me, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. Then I understand my identity. I'm going, wow, I'm somebody. Turn to them and say, you're somebody. The gap, unfortunately, I've heard this and read this so often, but I still truly don't believe it. There's a good word in the English language. Well, good two words in the English language I want to use today. Stop it. So I'm a child of the King. I'm a royal priesthood. Not just a priesthood, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. Chosen, picked before the foundation of the earth. I walk in my righteousness. Come on, work with me. I'm getting excited. I know time's going, but I'm nearly done. God says, I have my Son, capital S-O-N, whom I sent and died and sacrificed upon the cross so that I could have you, sons, little S-O-Ns and daughters, and we are co-equal with Jesus. I know some of you, what? Jesus is still Lord and Master. He is still my Savior. He is still mighty God. He is still everything that we say is. But I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I'm not trying to dumb Jesus down at all. I'm trying to lift us up for us to see where we are, what our identity is in Him. That I'm not just like a second rate. You know, the understanding in the Bible, when people were adopted into a family, they were adopted co-equal. So when Papa and Mama passed on to glory unknown, there was three children born, two adopted, makes five. Everything was shared five ways. Not three for this and two for that. But we sometimes think, well, I'm just adopted into this family. That doesn't mean much for me. No, we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We live in the glory realm of that. Where am I? I keep losing my space. Did we get there? Here we go. Ephesians 1. I'm adopted as His child. Ephesians 1. He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons to Jesus according to the purpose of His will. Gap says, we still believe in God is waiting to punish us. What if I do something wrong? Well, what if you do something wrong? It's not like okay, but it's all right. It's not okay, but it's okay. It doesn't give us license to sin. It doesn't give us license, oh, I'm not in law, I'm in a grace, I can do what I like. No, that's stupidity. Can I just say it plain and bold? That's just stupidity. But what it means is that grace teaches us to say no to sin, and we live in that, and we say He was willing and pleased to do this for His pleasure and purpose. We think that He's still in the state of anger. And no matter how many times you hear this is not true, you will still go away. And when you sin, you will go, oh my word, I can't go to church. I can't talk to the church people. I can't do this. You've heard me say this before. When we get into that state, then we run into our cave, into the rock, and we hide. Instead of running to the rock, who is Christ Jesus, the foundation of this world, and getting together with your brothers and sisters, and fellowshipping. No, I'll work it out myself. You cannot work it out yourself. Just plain and simple. You might think you've got a modicum of that going, but you don't. Number five. Did I get? No. Did I do five already? No. Ephesians. According to the purpose He will. Yeah, He's willing and pleased to do His pleasure and purpose. That's number five. Number six, Ephesians 1:7. Huh? Yeah, we Steve God's way to punish. I just did that. Okay. Ephesians 1. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The gap theory, my pain, my addictions, my rejections, my abuses are too strong. I can never truly be free. Remember I said we live in the misinformation, the lie? And I know there are people here who have been abused and who have been rejected and have been dejected and have been set aside. But in God's family, that no longer holds true. You can say, I am a child of the King. No action, past, present, or future, can hold us captive. We are redeemed from the slave block. We are made free. None of my pain, none of my addictions, none of my rejection or my abuse has any power to hold me back. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, James 4:7. Therefore, submit yourself under the hand of God and resist the devil and he will flee. The problem is that we allow the flesh to rise up above the spirit. And we forget to stay in that mode. I'm not angry. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We are forgiven. You are forgiven. How about you don't understand, Mark? My sin is too terrible. No, it's not. In your head, it might be. Because you have a messed up identity. You want to just get back and just be happy. And I don't take this, I'm not talking about this lightly. We have to understand our identity in Christ and walk in there. And know, I am forgiven. I'm stupid at times, but I'm still forgiven. I do the wrong stuff at times, I'm still forgiven. Doesn't give me excuse to do the wrong stuff and behave badly. I am forgiven. Last one. The riches of his grace which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. His grace is lavished. Look up that the English word. Lavished. He lavishes upon us. He doesn't give us stingily. The gap says, God is reluctant and stingy to extend his grace to me. He doesn't really care about me. He knows who Chris is. He doesn't know who I am, though. He knows who Mark and Bridget, or he knows who Bridget is, but he doesn't know who I am. Does God really care? I know we're a little bit over time. Bridget, many years ago, she went down to the beachfront to hand out tracts and to evangelize and do what she likes to do. And she met this family down there, an Afrikaans family, who were living in a van, a kombi. So she spoke to them. We live 25 kilometers. She jumped in the car. She rode 25 kilometers back home again, raided the linen cupboard, raided a whole bunch of other cupboards, got a whole box of stuff, and went back to them. And who knows why, they're living out of a van. She took them a toilet seat. You know those like little woolly things you put over the top of the toilet and over the seat and make it look pretty? She took them one of those. And I said, babes, what are they going to do with it? Anyway, 8 years go by. And Bridget is feeling, God, do you care? Having one of her insecure moments. Do you care? Do you know who I am? Have you got plans for us? Because by now we were planning to come to Canada. And a broken foot. That's right. She had broken her ankle and she was laid up in bed and feeling sorry for herself. And Lord. And the phone rings. And this voice on the other says, "Hello, Bridges. Hello, Bridges. You know who this is." I can't remember. What is his name? Do you remember? Gert. It's Gert. She says, Gert who? She says, 8 years ago, you gave me a toilet set on the beachfront. She says, yes. She says, I just want to tell you. I have a job. We have our own house. I have a car. My wife and I are good. Our kids are in school. We're doing fantastically. But that's not the reason why I called. I called because God told me this morning, find Bridget and tell her that he cares for her and he loves her. He cares for you. He lavishes his grace upon us. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. We can only receive this truth. Know who our identity in him is by receiving and trusting in Christ's love and his grace towards us. Then his purposes and gifting will have vision for our lives, and we will do them with ease. Let's just stand together, please. If any of this has made any sense to anyone this morning, and you've said, you're sitting here going, man, I've been looking at my gifting all the time, I've been looking at my purpose all the time. Father, will you reveal more of your identity to me? I want to know whose I am before who I am. You just raise your hand. Just close your eyes. Raise your hands. That's good. So, Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God. And Lord, my hands are raised. Father, we look across this congregation, precious family, Lord. Jesus, would you reveal more of who we are in you? We thank you for your devotion towards us, Lord. We thank you for calling us out. Thank you for picking us before creation, Lord God. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on a cross, to take all our imperfections, all our sins, our trespasses, all our iniquities upon you, Lord. That we might be free, that we might revel in the true identity. That we are loved, that we are in the Beloved, that we are seated in heavenly places, that we have every spiritual blessing given to us right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your identity in us, Lord. Thank you that you identify us as brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father, that you identify us as children of the King. Thank you, Lord, as we cried this morning, that you are Abba, Father. That you are a Savior, Master, Lord, Great King. Thank you, Lord, that I will no longer think of myself as a less than. Thank you, Lord, that I will not see myself as a second-class citizen. Thank you, Lord God, that you have given me an internal inheritance. That you have made me co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty of your presence, Holy Spirit, upon our lives right now. Holy Spirit, would you invade our lives right now? Touch our hearts, Lord. Do a good work in us. Thank you, as the Word says, that every good gift comes from the Father of lights. And Lord, to that end, we declare our love for you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that I don't have to achieve. Thank you, Lord God, that I don't have to be doing. Thank you, Lord God, that I am perfect. I am the real deal package in your sight. And all God's people said, amen.